God is still in control. He has spoken the first word, he will speak the last, and everything will go as he wills. Heart, be silent. That's what we just sang. It is a wonderful thing when one finds peace in God. Peace in the belief that he truly brings everything to a glorious conclusion, that he blesses and finishes what he has begun. Let us open ourselves up, not sit here tense, but relaxed in God's presence, not as though we had something to do that God has already done, but that we might be able to receive and experience what he has provided. We are surely all still under the impression of last night and this morning. We are simply glad that God speaks to us in simplicity, yet clearly enough. When we consider that truly wise people who were fluent in various languages translated the Bible and were also inwardly moved and touched, studied the Bible, and yet could make no sense of certain events, but only because the time for them had not yet come. No matter who we are, when the time comes for a matter of God, then the Lord reveals it. And those who receive it then go along with God's work and will experience that what God has promised comes true. What touched me in the sermon this morning, the thought was very new to me, was that the Israelites ended up in Egypt through their own fault, because they had previously sold Joseph there as a slave. They didn't want him. They had no room for him. Did you all pick up on that? And then they cried out in their distress, and God had mercy on them. I sometimes wonder how often we get into certain difficulties through our own fault. Then we cry out to God, and he helps us, and is always gracious for his name's sake. Here is a written question regarding the prophet Elijah, who is sent to Israel, that is, who will come to Jerusalem, asking on which scripture this is based. Actually, the question is very simple. We read very briefly today from the prophet Zechariah, where we find the promise for the church, which is depicted as a lampstand in chapter 4. But we also have the promise that beside this lampstand, beside the church, there are two olive trees, and these two olive trees are two prophets. And this is found in Revelation chapter 11. So please compare Zechariah chapter 4, perhaps from verse 8 to the end. I shall read only verse 11 at this moment. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And then, right at the end, in verse 14 it says, Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Here it says, the two anointed ones. For oil in prophecy, spiritually speaking, is always a reference to the Holy Spirit. If the virgins in Matthew 25, or in Krefeld, or Munich, or in Czechoslovakia, or anywhere else in the world, if the virgins ever run out of oil, then that means that they had not enough of God's Spirit. We must always read these scriptures carefully, So the two anointed ones are the two prophets standing beside the lampstand. We have gone through this here. We have spoken about the fact that, for example, this image with the lampstand and the two olive trees beside the lampstand. If you just look here now, and if this were the end of the lampstand, then the two olive trees would be standing outside the lampstand. That means they do not appear during the church age. They only appear once the full number of the church has been gathered. Once the rapture has taken place, only then does the ministry of the two witnesses begin. God has even arranged it in such a way that using earthly examples, it is comprehensible and easily understood by all of us, so that we may know it precisely and place it scripturally. Revelation 11, as already mentioned, is familiar to us all. It is there that the two witnesses appear, who will prophesy in Jerusalem for exactly 3.5 years. And anyone reading this passage in Revelation 11 and seeing everything that happens cannot help but be reminded of the ministry of Moses and the ministry of Elijah. And it was these two prophets, Moses and Elijah, who came down to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and spoke with him about the outcome he would face in Jerusalem. So it all really fits together very well, and that is why the Jews also expect it to happen accordingly. I will translate in a moment. Before that, I want to read 2 or 3 scriptures specifically concerning the Lord's ministry, which we as the church are to continue, that is, which God Himself continues through the church. The church is His body, and Christ is the head. We as His members are to continue this ministry, that is to say, He continues it through us. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Anyone reading the preceding verses will note that the Lord also placed faith at the center. It says in verse 29, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." They said unto him, "Yes, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." In these few verses alone, we see the various ways in which prayers can be offered for the sick. In verse 33 we read, "And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake." It is stated earlier that a possessed man was brought to him. There are all sorts of sicknesses, and before one prays, one must know what sickness is involved, so that one can then pray with a specific purpose. And there, indeed, the word of the Lord is always decisive and must be spoken. For it is written in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, "When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick." It is truly the case that, for example, anointing with oil can only be performed where there is no possession, where Satan has not somehow taken hold. But where believers have fallen ill, for them prayer should be offered through anointing with oil, and then also in the faith that God will raise them up and help them. But when it comes to such illnesses, as we have indeed heard from Brother Branham's mouth, illnesses that have life within them, cancer for example, has life within it. It is not a dead thing, but has a seed of life within it, and grows larger and larger. And this life within the cancer, sooner or later, brings a person's life to an end. And whenever there's life in the illness, that is a demon, and this demon must be cast out. And once it has been cast out, the person will be healed again. If it is a disease in which there is no life, that is, which does not spread, which does not proliferate, then it is enough to pray in faith and with the laying on of hands, and for God to then confirm His word. It is simply wonderful to see how all these things are so precisely set out in Holy Scripture. He cast out the evil spirits through the word. Not He healed through the word, but He cast out devils through the word. The word of God, the word of authority, commands these evil spirits, and they must yield to the authority of the word. They must submit to God's command. For where God speaks, there is a command, and they all must listen and obey, no matter who it is or what it is. Then there is another truly wonderful passage in the Epistle of Peter, which came to mind yesterday evening. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And now comes the verse. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It is simply wonderful to see here too how Peter in the New Testament quotes the word of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 53 and emphasizes it once again in this way. Let us believe with complete conviction that everything took place on Golgotha, the redemption of the soul, the liberation of the spirit, and the healing of the body. Everything took place there. And blessed is the person who can claim the full salvation for themselves in faith, and also experience that God confirms His word to us as true. We who are now of advanced age and have our little aches and pains, that has nothing to do with it. You know, this is the course of life to which all people are subject. It is appointed for man to die once, and the path to that end is well known to all. Man blossoms like a flower, the wind blows over it, and soon it is no more. Isaiah cried out in chapter 40, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. God has not promised us eternal youth in this fallen body. God has promised us eternal glory in the transformed body. And the Lord will return, and all who have fallen asleep in Christ and are prepared for the first resurrection will rise again and all who are ready to take part and are then alive will be transformed, and together we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to then be with the Lord forever. Let us in any case speak the word of faith and ask God to increase it within us, so that he might confirm his word according to his will and good pleasure. I was particularly moved last night when this man of God said simply, "All of you here in wheelchairs and with cancer and so on, wait, I will pray for you." I myself am an eyewitness to how people rose from their wheelchairs, healed by the very power of God. People ravaged by cancer, without any hope, were healed in one fell swoop. God is faithful. God is faithful. We too must reach the point where we no longer make any distinction between serious cases and minor cases. Who is responsible for the mild and the severe case? God alone. And who are we to somehow confine God within limits through our thoughts? Brother Rus has just said it. We believe it because Scripture testifies to it. God parted the Red Sea, made a wall here and one there, and the people passed through. Just as the walls stand to the right and left of this building, so there were walls of water to the left and right, and the people of Israel passed through with dry feet. Do not worry about how that could have happened. That is not our concern. It was the concern of the one who had to do it. It is exactly the same with everything else. I believe that we have all been strengthened in our faith, and I will also translate briefly, because the sermons strengthen our faith. They build us up, give us new courage, and especially as we know that it was not just words that were spoken, but that God stood behind them with great deeds and confirmed them in a truly mighty way. To him, the living God, who truly can do all things, who said, "Is anything too hard for me?" And who once called out to a sick man, "All things are possible to him who believes." Let us believe God, believe according to Scripture. He will make all things right. And if we believe that he can raise all the dead, where nothing remains, what is left of the dead who have been devoured by beasts, burned by fire? Where are they? God knows. And he can take the elements that make up the body. We won't need those afterwards at all, for he is making all things new. And already for every old body a new resurrection body comes. One might ask, where will God get it from? God speaks one word and it happens. That is how it is. And when he gives the shout, the graves open and the resurrection takes place. The living are transformed. The same God who spoke everything into existence, the entire universe, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen. There was light. That was it. He called the light day and the darkness night. Oh yes, our God is a faithful God, a righteous God. He will not put to shame anyone who places their trust in him, not even us. Praise be to his name. Let us sing a chorus. To you, Lamb of God, be glory. To you, Lamb of God, be glory. Your sacrifice is complete. You have set us free from our guilt and sin. We are a people of priests, kings in your kingdom. Nowhere on earth is there a name like yours.